Kings chapter 6, begin reading at verse number 8. The king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such place, for thither the Syrians are come down." The king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths it reveals to us that we would not discern any other way. We thank you that we can know by faith that you're always with us to protect us, and that we need not fear. And Lord, we just pray you bless as we look into this portion of Scripture, as we conclude our series on spiritual vision today, that you would just help us, that you would open our eyes, that we would see. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Through this year, we've been considering the topic of spiritual vision, the idea of seeing beyond the temporal and the material to see the spiritual and the eternal. And it's the idea that in the year of 2020, we want to have 2020 spiritual vision. We want to see all things clearly. And I think with the way that 2020 has been, we realize all the more how important it is for us to have spiritual vision through these times. But this morning is the concluding message in this series, and so we're essentially ending where we began with this passage in 2 Kings chapter 6. We find in this passage, Elisha has been used of God to deliver his people from the attacks of the Syrians. God would give him supernatural insight as to their plans, which he would then share with the king of Israel so that the king of Israel could take the necessary steps to escape their attacks. And seeing his plans repeatedly thwarted, the king of Syria assumed that there had to be a spy in their midst. And so he's asking his servants, "Well, which one of us is the one that's sharing these secrets that we share with each other so that the king of Israel knows them?" And his servants said it wasn't any of them. They were all loyal servants. It was this prophet in Israel, this man of God, that is telling the king what's going on. And so seeing that this is where the source of his problems was, that the king of Syria decided, "Well, we're going to take care of him." So he spent spies to find out where he was. And of course he says, "Go and spy where he is, I may send and fetch him." And it wasn't, he was one to fetch him so he could have a talk with him, tell him to knock it off. It was pretty much to end his life. And we see that because as soon as he found out where he was, he didn't just send someone to give him a ride back to Syria to talk with him. It was an army sent to capture him and bring him back in chains. And so, rising early that morning, Elisha's servant went forth, not suspecting what was coming. That this army, great host, had come through the night, and so as he awoke, and who knows, perhaps it was to fetch water or something, we don't know, but He sees this huge host of horses and chariots surrounding the city. He rushes back to Elisha saying, "Alas, master, how shall we do?" It was just words of just fear and desperation and just not knowing what to know. Just how are we going to deal with this threat that now faces us, that we didn't know it was coming, that it's right in front of us, and how are we going to deal with this overwhelming host? And there was something that Elisha was going to do, and we were going to see that in a few minutes. But we see that he made it clear there was one thing that neither him nor the servant needed to do, and that was to be afraid. And the reason he gave was, "They that be with us are more than they that be with them." And in the moment, that explanation would have made no sense to Elisha's servant. Hearing it, he may have thought either Elisha had lost his mind or really stunk at math. But no doubt, recognizing his servant's look of confusion and consternation, Elisha prayed, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And God answered Elisha's prayer, and for a few brief moments, the servant saw with his eyes what Elisha had already seen by faith. That it was not the two of them alone to face the Syrian army. There was a great band of angels encamped all around them. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. That in that moment, even though there was this huge host arrayed against them, they were in no danger because God was with them and they had nothing to fear. For us as believers today, I think we all can find ourselves in situations and in terms of the way our society is going that we can at times feel very overwhelmed, much like the servant of Elisha. We recognize that our society today, indeed the world as a whole, seems to be increasingly turning against biblical Christianity. The truth of God's word is being rejected and suppressed. Laws continue to be passed which are in complete defiance to the principles of the Bible. And as we try to speak for the truth, what we say is often immediately dismissed or attacked or twisted. And we find that the tolerance that's pushed in society today is a tolerance, it seems, of everything except what the Bible says. And we read what the prophet Isaiah wrote thousands of years ago in Isaiah 59, verse 14 and 15, where he says, "Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey." And even though we recognize that was written well over 2,000 years ago, that it could be written to describe today. And we see the choices our society is making, and from the Bible and history, we know what will be the terrible consequences of those decisions. But as we try to provide warning of what is coming, that we are met with opposition. And there are voices that seem intent on silencing the truth of God's word. And often for us, facing such opposition, we wonder, what are we to do? That sometimes we think, well, maybe if I just remain silent, that will make things better. But we know that it's not really going to help. It's only going to make things worse. But like the servant, we can be at a place of where we say, how shall we do? What shall we do? And we look and we would say that based on the odds, that we don't have much hope. And as believers, I think that we can, looking at things based on what we see by sight, we can fear for our future. And I think much more we fear for the future of our children and what they might have to face. And so as a society, we're entering an ever more increasingly desperate situation, and there doesn't seem any way out of it. But yet in all of this, we want to understand that we're not seeing things as they truly are. It is not us all alone to face the world. We as believers are not vastly outnumbered. Far from it. In fact, we have the advantage. We read in Romans chapter 8, and verse number 31. It says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" It's a thought that if God is on our side, if God is watching out for us, that no foe needs to be feared, that he can protect us. We see in Romans 8, verses 35 and 37, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" And the answer we see in verse 37 says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And that's what we understand, is that we can have victory. We can be conquerors through the Lord Jesus. We read as well in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, where it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And we look at that and we see that it isn't just saying, "Well, ye are of God and ye may overcome them," or "one day you will overcome them." It says, "Ye are God, little children, ye have overcome them." That it's saying it in the past tense, that it is something that is certain through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to understand that God gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus. He makes us to always triumph in Christ. And so whatever we're facing, we don't have to be afraid, that God is with us, God is protecting us, and he can give us the victory. And the thing is, this is the reality of our situation, but as believers, we don't often see it that way because we're not looking at our situation through the eyes of faith. And that's why John writes in 1 John 5 and verse 4, "He that is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And that's the thing, God is real, he is with us, that as his people, we don't need to cower in fear. We don't need to try to hide ourselves from what's coming. It isn't something where we should be just trying to hold on and hang on until Jesus comes again. That we want to see ourselves as we truly are, on the winning side. That the battle is the Lord's, and that we can and need to step forward in boldness as his people to proclaim his truth to a world that desperately needs to hear it, now more than ever. And so thus do we all, as his people, need to pray, "Lord, open our eyes that we may see." We need God to help us to see things as they truly are. That we don't need to live in fear, despair, discouragement, and defeat. That we recognize that to do so is to fall prey to the deceptions of the devil, who wants to keep us in the dark, keep us discouraged, keep us distracted. He knows that if we saw things as they truly are, that he would be defeated over and over again. That he would have no hope for making any headway at all in our lives, in the lives of our families, in the lives of our community. As believers, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And often that's what we think, that we have to fight these battles with the weapons that are available to this world. We think we might have to do it through political means or other things like that. But the thing is that the weapons that we use are spiritual, and they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We think of what Jesus declared to his disciples in Matthew 16:18, where he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And it's the thing is that we look at that, and sometimes, unfortunately, we misunderstand that verse, because we think of this, that we are this church that's being under attack, that we're constantly being bombarded by the world, and we're on the defensive. We take this kind of bunker mentality where we just kind of have to hold on until Jesus comes again. But we want to recognize what it says, where he says, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against me." The gates cannot be moved to attack us. That gates are something that are stationary. And so what God is saying is that as God's people, as his church goes forward, fulfilling his will, proclaiming his word, that they could assail the very gates of hell, and the gates of hell themselves would not be able to prevail, that they would be able to overcome them. And so it's that thought, if we see things as they truly are, that we would not be afraid, we would not have a bunker mentality as Christians. Instead, we would go forward boldly in Jesus' name, knowing that he's with us every step of the way. That brings us to consider what Elisha's response was to the Syrian army arrayed against him, a response that was based upon what he saw through the eyes of faith. And so as we go back to this passage, we consider this, that Elisha here had the advantage. He could have prayed to God to have the chariots and horses of fire attack the Syrians, or he could have, as Elijah did, call fire down from heaven to consume this host. But that's not what he did. And we take up the narrative in verse 18 of 2 Kings chapter 6. It says, "When they came down to him, Elisha prayed on the Lord and said, 'Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness.' And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, 'This is not the way, neither is it the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek.' But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were coming to Samaria, that Elisha said, 'Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see.' And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said to Elisha, when he saw them, 'My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?' He answered, 'Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master.' And he prepared great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel." And so you think of this, of just the relationship he had with the Lord and prayers that he was able to give, where God would answer them so quickly and so fully. He could have asked for pretty well anything. He could have said, "Smite these individuals that have come against me to the ground, destroy them." But he said, "Smite them with blindness." And then he led them from where they were, so that they were now in the midst of Samaria, that they had surrounded the city in which Elisha was in, and instead now that this host is surrounded. And so he has the advantage. He very much could have pressed the advantage. And the king of Israel thought, well, this is why this happened. This is great. And so he says, well, now that we've delivered them this way, we've done this miracle, shall I smite them? And he asked twice. You can see his eagerness. But we see that Elisha said, no, this is not what you should do. And instead, what does he say? He says, you need to feed them. And so we see that he prepared a great provision, that he gave, that these people who were his enemies, he gave them supper and sent them home. And he, in many ways, kind of showed hospitality. And through this whole time, that these soldiers knew that God was with Elisha, and that at any moment God could destroy them all at just one word from his prophet. But yet they were shown great mercy, and that had a tremendous effect and an impact on them. And so what happened is that these men didn't come back, but there was peace and rest in Israel for a time, because they knew that God was protecting his people. And so as we see this, and it's interesting, because when you consider the Old Testament, you kind of find that there's different foreshadowings and different individuals that are pictures. And Elijah, with who he was, we think of how John the Baptist came in the spirit and the power of Elisha. And so there's much that compares Elisha to John the Baptist. But we see, Elijah rather, but with Elisha, it's different, that he much more is a picture of Christ in the way that he acted and in the spirit that he had. And so I'm reminded of Jesus in Luke chapter 9, if you turn there with me. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 51. Read this. It says, "And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village." And so we see that they came to the Samaritans. The Samaritans didn't seem to show Jesus the respect that his disciples felt he was deserving of. And so their answer was, well, we should pray to God that the Lord will destroy these people for their lack of respect and they're not receiving you who is the true Messiah. And we find that Jesus didn't say, oh yeah, that's a good idea. It wasn't even something that he thought was funny. That we find that he turned and rebuked them. And he says, no, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. And he said, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it's something that we want to learn from the passage in 2 Kings chapter 6, this passage in Luke chapter 9, that we need to have spiritual vision so that we're free from fear, so that we can walk in victory. But we want to understand that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That sense of being more than conquerors, that God could use us to defeat people, that he could advance his cause through the sword, through violence, that he could show his great power in many different ways to judge and condemn and different things. But we see that God uses his power because he wants to save people. He wants to deliver them. And that's the thing, is that we are to be of the same spirit as him, that we're not trying to go out and defeat the lost, these people that oppose us, people that may speak against us. We're not trying to get victory over them and lord it over them and do to them what they would wish to do to us. That's not what Jesus says for us to do, that we're to love our enemies, we're to do good to them that hate us, we're to pray for those that despitefully use us and persecute us, that we want to win them to Christ. We want to show love to the ones who show hate to us. That Jesus came with great power, but he came not to destroy, he came to save. And we need to be operating under that same spirit. Now we think of Jesus in John chapter 4, that he was passing through Samaria with his disciples. And amongst the Jews, they looked down on the Samaritans. They'd kind of be sort of like with us. We would think that these people are kind of these backwoods hillbillies or something like that we would have to fear from. And they didn't even want to go through Samaria. We find that what happened that normally with the Jews is, even though to get from Judah to Galilee, it was a straight shot through Samaria, that they would go well out of their way to avoid Samaria entirely. And you think of it, this isn't just hopping your vehicle and taking a detour, that they would walk many extra miles just to avoid going through Samaria, because they hated and despised and in many ways feared these Samaritans. But yet, we see that Jesus said that he had to go through Samaria. And that they, of course, went looking for food. And their idea was basically, okay, well, let's get food. Let's eat and run. At that time, if they would have known it, they would have wished they had some kind of fast food restaurant. They could have just gone through and kept going. But they had to go find food, and so he sat and he met with this woman of Samaria, and yes, she was a woman that was had quite a past and everything, and they definitely would look down on her, and we see that they marveled that he talked with the woman, but after she left, and them, of course, not knowing that he had shared the truth with her, showed her need, declared himself to be her savior, that they knew nothing of this, and basically their thought was, Master, eat. Let's you eat, then we'll go, and we'll get away from these weirdos, get away from this place. But God, we see, was trying to help them. And Jesus was trying to share with them that these weren't people to shun, people to avoid, people to look down upon, people to kind of just count out, that he wanted them to help them to see that these were people that were in need of a Savior, people that needed love, people that needed help. And he wanted them to, as we see there, where he said, well, Master, he says, I have meat to eat, you know not of, and they didn't know what he was talking about. They thought it was somebody else bringing food, and he says, my meat, what sustains me, what keeps me going in life is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And he says, say not ye, there yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And that's something that we really want to see is a difference when we think of this and what we've read and with the story in Elisha. That we can see many that have chosen to be our enemies and being enemies of God, enemies of the truth. And we can be fearful of them, but as we see with the eyes of faith, we can see that we don't need to be afraid, that God will protect us. There's no need to be afraid. But as well, as God opens our eyes, we need to see that these people that are opposed to us are not people that we're fighting against, people that we're to hate, people that we're to be turned against and look at as the enemy. They're people that have been deceived, people that need to know the truth, that we don't see this host around us and are afraid of them. Instead, we see this harvest that is all around us, and it's white already to harvest, that we have to get out and try to rescue lost souls before it's too late. That's what we really want to understand when we pray this. Lord, open our eyes that we may see that sometimes what he reveals to us is much more than we would expect, much more than we would maybe want to take in. But we want to realize that that's what God wants us to see. He wants us to see the big picture. That there's people around us that hate God, hate his word, and it's because they don't know the truth. Because the darkness around them, the darkness within them has blinded their eyes. And that's why God sends us to share the gospel with him. And we're of his spirit, that we're not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And so the people all around us need to know God's love. They need God's love demonstrated to them by our lives. And so we need spiritual vision to see the situation that we're in, so we have the right mindset, that we're not fearful, that we're engaging in the spiritual battle, that we're looking to God for victory, we're knowing what's going on. But through it all, that we realize that there's a world out there that God wants us to help him reach. And we can go anywhere in this world and we don't have to fear anything, because he says, I'm with you even to the end of the world, that his angels will protect us. And the thing is if we know the Lord as Savior, that even if something was to happen to us, we don't have to be afraid, because if we're absent from the body, we'll be present from the Lord. And so may the Lord help us, that he would open our eyes, that we would see, that we could truly walk by faith and walk in obedience to His Word, and not live in fear anymore, that we can be more than conquerors through Him that loved us, that we can be used of God to bring those who were our enemies to becoming believers, becoming brothers and sisters in Christ, be able to see ones like Saul, who later became Paul the missionary, someone who came to preach the faith that he once destroyed. That's God's mercy and grace in action, and it's something that He wants us to experience ourselves. And so, may that be our prayer as His people throughout the remainder of this year and whatever comes, that we would not look at it just based on what we see or what we take in, that our vision would come from God's Word, that we would see God's truth as it is, that we would have faith to recognize that what God says is real, and that we can rely on on God's Word really is our the lenses through which we can look and see our world as it truly is, and be able to guide our lives accordingly. And so may the Lord open our eyes that we may see, and that He might, as we have His vision, that we would be used of Him to make a difference in this world today. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank You again for Your Word. We thank You for the truth that You have revealed to us through Your Word. And we just pray, Lord, that You would open our eyes, that You would illumine us to Your truth, and that You would prepare us to be used of You to fulfill Your mission, Lord, to reach people for the gospel, to look at them with fear or hate or anything like that, but instead with love and trusting in You that You can see us through, and that You can use us to make a difference in their lives. Just guide us through the week to come, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.